NFL draft.
Well, you can tell this has been a tiring old period for us here at the Franchise Tag Podcast. I apologise if you sort of saw it pop up and then disappear again. A bit of a technical error from yours truly and the video prior as well. But we are back, the Franchise Tag Podcast. Welcome, my name's Freddie. I'm your host. Welcome, Sky, Andrew, Adam and Johnny, all back for our final podcast before we have a little bit of a summer break between us. We've worked pretty hard. All the guys have worked really hard. Sit all of last season into Super Bowl. We haven't stopped. We then go through the whole free agency draft period and what fun it has been. We're going to be reviewing some of the draft that happened last week, looking at some particular teams. So strap in and enjoy our last one for the summer period. We'll have stuff coming out in the summer, though, with interviews and stuff like that. So make sure you keep a look on our channel, on our YouTube and our social media platforms. We'll start tonight, though, with Sky, and we're going to be talking about the Atlanta Falcons and their draft and looking at how well they did or how poorly they did, I suppose. In the first round, taking with pick 8, the surprise pick, quarterback Michael Penix. Round 2, I'm going to real butcher this, but defensive tackle Rook Orihorahorahora. I think I did one too many auras there. Round 3, offensive line, outside linebacker Braylon Trice. Round 4, defensive tackle Brandon Dorius. Round 5, linebacker J.D. Bertrand. Round 6, running back Jace McClellan. Round 6, wide receiver Casey Washington. Round 6 as well, defensive tackle Zion Logue. Let's start with the obvious. So we sort of briefly spoke about this in the review show we did the day after the draft with myself and Adam. But Sky, we'll start with you. I mean, Michael Penix, that pick at number 8, was the shock of the night. Maybe the biggest shock of the modern era.
Yeah, I agree. I think we said before going live, didn't we can't really think of a more shocking one in recent memory. I know we always talk about recency bias, but what was the need for that? I also don't know what the need was to get a running back in the 6th round if you're that hell-bent on developing a quarterback. I mean, I'm happy the Patriots got Milton, but could the Falcons not have got him instead and actually use the 8th pick on, say, on Dallas Turner? But yeah, when I go through all of the picks, I'm pretty much not sold on any of them other than Trice. I think he's had 16 sacks over the past 2 seasons. But even I'm not even going to butcher Rook's surname, but even that was a reach, trading up multiple picks to get him when they probably could have stayed and got him anyway. So, yeah, I think GM could be on the chopping block if it all goes wrong, because when you've got the talent that they've got, even if they have a successful season, you don't want this to have a knock-on effect and then next draft there'll be question marks again, right, about making more poor decisions.
Johnny, the first thing basically out of that, as soon as Michael Penix got picked by the Atlanta Falcons, was, you know, you've just paid Kirk Cousins a lot of money. You're going to have him around for a long time. And are you in the camp that this pick was really quite unnecessary and also, maybe a bit of a reach, I suppose, some people are feeling? And also, you know, what are Atlanta thinking here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, nothing against Michael Penix. I think from what we saw, you know, the tape, he's able to throw a beautiful football. He, you know, he's obviously a very good player, and I'm hopeful that he will go on to have, you know, a very illustrious NFL career. But the Falcons have just given a huge contract to a quarterback, yes, who is aging. But let's not forget, this isn't a complete team. They have so many other areas that they needed to address this offseason. And, you know, Penix was viewed as, you know, a potential day 2 pick, even whether the, you know, the Falcons, we obviously saw, you know, how many quarterbacks, 6 quarterbacks go in first 15 picks, whether the Falcons wanted to take a quarterback at some stage this in the draft. I just feel they could have gone about it in a completely different way, whether that be, you know, potentially trading back a little bit and recuperating a bit more for resource to build elsewhere. The, you know, forgive me again, the horror who pick, you know, even still, you know, trading picks away to reach for someone who, from what I can see, was mocked quite a bit later in the draft, maybe potentially, you know, an early round 3 pick. You know, this team has got a lot of question marks, I still think, particularly on defense. I think they improved last year, but they should have been, it was so infuriating, I think, for watching that on on Thursday to see what they did. You know, this may turn out in, you know, we might be looking back at this as, you know, why were we complaining? Michael Penix might go on and be a multiple Super Bowl winner with the Falcons. But yeah, it's just, it's so confusing given, you know, I think the needs that the Falcons have elsewhere and the big contract that they gave Kirk just a handful of weeks ago.
It's just like when Zach Wilson went on to win multiple Super Bowls in New York. it's the exact same, really, Johnny.
You never know. He still could.
It may be on another team. Now, Andrew, the biggest Michael Penix supporter, advocator. We didn't speak on last week after the draft happened, but we did speak about this Michael Penix pick, and you provided a very, very decent argument as to why this shouldn't be as complained about, ostracized by the NFL community at this pick being ridiculous. You gave a very balanced argument, and we must point out, saying that we all quite rate Penix as a player. It's more the pick and the position that we people have had a problem with. Everyone has said that Mark Banks is a cracking quarterback, great college career, a great guy, it seems, as well, and they wish him all the best. But Andrew, why don't you try and convince us and the rest of our audience as to why this isn't a bad pick?
Well, I might not do a great job of convincing people that it isn't a bad pick, because I do hate the pick. I especially hate it for Michael Penix. But when it happened and the day one was over, I kind of went, let's try and look at this realistically and see if there's any logic behind it. And can I actually put some logic to it? And as much logic as I do put to it, I then have counter arguments as well. But, you know, the Cousins deal, it's, from what I can see, if you're bringing Penix in, for me, it's a 2-year deal, isn't it? If they cut him before the 2025 season, they lose what, 12 million, I think it was. So if in 18 months it's not working, they can roll out Penix, they can cut Cousins after the season finishes, and, you know, it's fine. They've got their successor, not a problem. It's also, you got to remember that Raheem Morris came from a team in the Rams that had an older quarterback that, you know, would struggle with injuries. And when he went down, their team then became useless and rubbish, and the season was a write-off. And I think the owner has probably in his head gone, we were that bad at quarterback last year, and everyone said we were one quarterback away from, a decent quarterback away from qualifying for the playoffs. Why don't we double down, have two in the building? You know, there's that safety net. If Cousins doesn't come back in time, or if his injury reoccurs, then we're not going to be that shit show that you saw last season, and we've got Penix who's plugging and play. So they were my logical things behind it. You can never have too many quarterbacks, but why spend $100 million guaranteed on Cousins? Also, why on the day of the draft tell him moments before the pick, when if they fell in love with him in the offseason, they could have sorted this out, they could have spoke about it. And I do think this is now going to cause a bit of an issue in terms of Cousins is always going to be looking over his shoulder. You know, one bad game and the fans are going to be like, well, we've just drafted a young guy that could have won the Heisman Trophy. That's, you know, he wasn't a project at college. The guy was virtually unbeaten for 2 years and got to a national championship. He's already good. He's already fantastic. So he's going to be looking over his shoulder and going, one bad game and I might be out. So, you know, as much logic as I put behind it, there's enough argument to say logic isn't the right thing, because financially it's got to come into it. Locker room's got to come into it. The big thing I would say is I don't think Cousins is going to be fit for practice, the OTAs. So who's taking the first team reps in the preseason? It's Michael Penix with the youngsters. Is Michael Penix as a youngster throwing the ball with, you know, London and Pitts and everybody else with Bijan? Is he going to grow a relationship? The guys really like him and go, we've got no allegiance to Kirk Cousins. We like this. So that, again, really stir some issues up. But I understand Can't have too many quarterbacks in the quarterback room. It's always good to have a good backup, especially when you've got a guy who's aging and getting injured. We only see his contract as 18 months max. We're never going to be in a position to draft high for a quarterback again. So that makes sense. But all the other factors just lean towards what's the thought. And then after they made that pick in the second, I was like, actually, maybe I should take the logic away because there's no logic in that second pick. So maybe they just didn't know what they were doing and just gone, do you know what, we'll try and do what Detroit did and we'll just take the people we want when we want them, but not really the same. So sorry, Fred, I haven't kind of give you that battle that you wanted of me going, yeah, this is a great pick and this is why it should be. But I did try to get some logic out of that pick.
That's what you can ask for, is logic. And to be fair, we did do an episode last season all about how the backup quarterback position now is like more fun. It's so important now throughout the NFL. We are seeing it so much more. We are seeing players injured more, unfortunately. And it matters. And if you have a good backup, you can still go really far. Really appreciate comments from Football Talk with Bo. He says, you don't know exactly when Cousins will be coming back from injury. It's really the only thing that makes most sense. If they fell in love in the offseason with Michael Penix, they should have grabbed a guy like Drew Lock. I mean, assuming that saying, you know, keep the money, have someone where you can compete on a level playing field. Whereas, you know, when we look at it in the grand scheme of it, Kirk Cousins is the guy, whether you like that or not, he is going to be. The money speaks. And also, Christian Friedel, thank you. You lads are always on it, loving every bit. Really appreciate that, my man. Fred, Adam.
Fred, just before you go to Adam, just to answer that question we got in about the offseason. Mm-hmm. The guys start scouting the players that they want this week and next week. That's when they start the process. It's also why Howie Roseman, who we'll probably might talk about later, traded a load of picks to get them for next year because he's already started scouting the players in next year. There's loads of depth in next year. So, yeah, just to go to that, it would have been in then. And I've also, after you spoke to Adam, I've got two teams that sort of swapped their off seasons round.
Well, we'll move on from the Falcons because we have Adam did speak about it on about the Penix pick. I mean, maybe just give us a minute on the rest of their draft though, Adam.
Yeah, I think it was very much about the lines, wasn't it, for them? They kind of went very strong on the sort of D line. I don't get the Rucaroro pick. I think it's crazy that Johnny Newton's there. I think that's mental that you don't do that. I like Braylon Trice. I think it's a good pick. The fourth round pick, I think he's a versatile guy. And JD Bertrand was a defensive team captain, wasn't he, at Notre Dame? So I think there's some decent stuff there. I think it's shocking that they didn't look at the corner position. I thought that was really surprising. But yeah, I mean, the first two picks are... The first pick is strange because you think, why? And then the second pick is just a reach that you just don't need to do. So I think when you take them two out of it, it's difficult to give them a grade that's very good, to be honest.
Well, we'll move on to our next team we're talking about. And really, we'll probably roll into the division as well. And that's the Dallas Cowboys. We're looking at their draft. So in the first round, they take Tyler Guyton, tackle from Oklahoma. Second round, Marshawn Nealand, defensive end from Western Michigan. Cooper Beebe or Bebe?
Beebe.
Beebe. Cooper Bebe. Third round, / center flexibility, Kansas State. Marist Leofau, linebacker at Notre Dame. Kaelin Carson, cornerback at Wake. Ryan Flawney, wide receiver. Nathan Thomas, offensive lineman. Justin Rogers, defensive tackle. Adam, I will stick on you with this. Surprising draft by the Cowboys. We know them historically to be splashy, to go for players that are going to bring in eyes, I suppose. They like a superstar. They didn't really even go for a superstar with the offensive tackle, I suppose, in Tyler Guyton. And two big needs for them is wide receiver outside of CD Lamb, which they don't have, and running back, even though now they have subsequently signed Ezekiel Elliott back there. However, we know them ties are pretty battered and run down. You know, yeah, that guy needs a quick fit job, that dude around there. Ask Sky, he'll know all about how Zeke did it with the New England Patriots.
He wasn't that bad. His as much as two years ago,
Zeke was the best running back in the league.
Of course.
He's not that bad.
He had his lead rushing I know his average has been below 4 rushing yards per carry in the last 2 years, but he's still almost got. He still almost got 1,000 total yards of rushing and receiving. It was like in the mid 900s. I think the issue is they just should have drafted someone to complement him. But I'll let Adam go with that. But I just wanted to back Zeke up a bit. He was nice in that press conference in Germany to me. I got to back him up.
what's your overall thoughts on this draft by the Cowboys?
Again, I felt it was another team that just went O-line, D-line a lot. They kind of went for the Lions. That was what they thought. I think Guyton is probably... out of all the first round picks, I probably go he's the one who needs time in order to become a starter and be really good. I thought Marshawn Neeland was a good pick, but I felt it was a bit early for him. He could have waited a little bit longer. Cooper Beebe is going to be good. I think he'll be good on the offensive line. He'll be good. And I thought Kalen Carson was, given where they got him quite late in the fifth, I thought was definitely a value. I just feel like for a team that is supposedly win now, this is not a win now draft. This is a draft thinking of the future. And so because of that, it's kind of surprising in that way. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense. If you're coming out saying you win now, you're saying you're going all in with Dak and you're going all in with CeeDee Lamb and all of that, and then you bring these guys in, it feels a bit mixed messages and isn't quite right. So, yeah, not great. Probably the worst one in their division, I would say. And that's obviously a bit of a concern for a team that really should be looking to try and progress.
Johnny, are you quite shocked at the fact they didn't even sort of knock around the running back and even knock around the running back market in free agency? You know, now they have Zeke Elliott, Royce Freeman. Is it Rico Dowdle? And then who's the other one? Deuce Vaughn. That's the one. Off the top of my head straight away. I mean, I know Dallas football more than Sky does, apparently. it's always a dig at Dallas and it's Sky. Johnny, yeah. Are you surprised by that? You know, it's very unlike Jerry to not be in the market for running back. You know, running back such a significant position and also such a significant position for the Dallas Cowboys as well. I mean, I can't speak for last season, but the season before, you know, they won more games on the ground than they did in the air.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Jerry Jones, I think, shot himself in the foot in this draft process when he said to a load of reporters that they were targeting Brooks, who was eventually brought in by the Panthers. You could see that, you know, the front office, I can't remember who's with him in that press conference, but they obviously weren't pleased with what Jerry is doing. And, you know, his influence, I think, sometimes, you know, in the draft process can have an effect in taking, you know, bringing so much attention to the Cowboys, you know, a little bit negatively. But yeah, it was surprising that they didn't take a running back. I actually don't mind what they've done with the draft in, you know, building in the trenches. They obviously needed to do a lot of work on offensive line, having lost the center. His name's gone. It's a bit, can't remember. Tyron Smith as well, obviously joined the Jets. So, you know, guys.
Tyler Biadasz.
And yeah, BB as well. I like what they did. You know, always like a good trade and then, you know, getting value, I suppose, and bringing in a player of need. So yeah, I don't mind what they've done, but yeah, running back is obviously a concern, and I think yeah, Jerry just put them in a bit of doodah there. I think it was obvious that Brooks. I think before, you know, a lot of mock drafts had put him to the Cowboys, and that meant the Panthers inevitably moved up to go get him. So bit of a stinker there.
Andrew, I'll go over to you because it's your division. I mean, the Cowboys have got to be feeling a little bit disheartened after this offseason and this draft. When you look around that division in the NFC East, you know, your New York Giants have had a terrific draft with players like Malik Nabers, Washington bringing in Jaden Daniels, the Eagles solidifying their cornerback position in Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and also the offseason acquisitions by the Eagles, the Giants, and the Commanders as well. Every year, it feels like we're saying it's the Eagles and Cowboys for that division. Is this now become a bit more of a level playing field in this division?
I think the Eagles are obviously head and shoulders above the rest in there. They should win that division easy. I think the Cowboys have taken a step back with this draft. And then I think the Commanders rebuild is going well nicely. I think the Giants have got a few more issues to catch the rest. My neighbors is a good start for that, getting a weapon. You know, Daboll's got to kind of play for his job, so getting the weapon might do that. But the thing I've got with this, and we're talking about the future and whether they're in it and how far they can go. Adam says win now and it being odd. He also then says, oh, these picks look like they're building for the future. Now, that comment there is what now strikes with me. If you're building for the future and you're getting Dak no weapons and you're not investing in a wide receiver for Dak or a running back for Dak, I'd argue that you've then the owner in Jerry, who everyone tells me, oh, Dak's Jerry's guy, he'll re-sign him, he'll bring him back. I say they've had a draft that reads to me, I want McCarthy and Dak to prove themselves this year. I'm not going to get you weapons. I'm going to build the trenches. And if you can't do it with this team, you're both out. And it really strikes that to me that he's gone, I'm not going to build it around Dak because he's not going to be there. And McCarthy's gone with him. So it really, really looks to me that that draft is I'm building for the future and it's not with them. And that's what I'm getting from it because, you know, if you're in the draft and we talk about the running back and we talk about round one picks that were misses or odd, round three was an odd one for me for the Cowboys, you know, fair enough. Benson and Brooks both off the board, but the Cowboys had 2 third round picks. They went with BB in with the first one of those picks. I'm happy with that. It would be good. It'd be good to build the run game. No issue with that. But then at pick 24 of the third round, so pick 87 overall,
yeah,
they went with an off-the-ball linebacker in that pick when, for me, there was still a guy on the board that was one of my favorite running backs in college. At one point, he led the league in yards per carry. He was very underused because the team was always behind and they relied on their quarterback to play hero ball most of the year because he's fantastic. And that's Marshawn Lloyd, who went in the next pick at pick 25 to Adams' Green Bay Packers. That miss on Lloyd in the third round for me is one of the biggest misses and errors of the draft. So, yeah, I'm very baffled. And I think if that's the case, and I am right that they've gone and building for the future, it's not with Dak or McCarthy, where does that leave them next year? Because they're already slipped behind the Eagles. And if you wait any longer and the Commanders catch you, then and maybe the Giants, I don't know, because their defense is strong, then they're in a different ball game there. It's not win now, is it? It's not win now anymore.
Andrew, reading between the lines of the Cowboys franchise, Sky, obviously it can be a little bit blurred lines sometimes. Do you echo Andrew's sentiment there?
Yeah, I feel like one thing, I know everyone keeps saying about not, my issue is them not getting a running back. But when we talk about the weapons, I mean, you know, Dak led the NFL in completions, passing touchdowns, Lamb had the most receptions. I don't have an issue with the receiving core. They've still got Lamb, Cooks, Tolbert. They could go and sign a guy like Tyler Boyd, underrated slot receiver, bring him in to replace a Michael Gallup. I think that's fine. I think the issue is just not getting a running back in the draft. But I completely agree with what Andrew said in terms of, I think we said on another show, I think it's like, prove yourself again. They hired Brian Schottenheimer, who was renowned, you know, for being a run first coordinator when the Jets made those two AFC title games in 2009 and 2010. And I think we all sat here and thought last season, well, they're going to run the ball with Tony Pollard. It's going to work. But they actually ended up airing it out. So they caught teams off guard by doing that. And it's almost like Jerry Jones is saying, well, do that again, and then I'll give you both a deal. If not, then, well, we know they gave up that pick for Trey Lance, and maybe that's the future. But I think the Cowboys are still a playoff team. Completely agree that the Eagles have overtaken them because they had an amazing draft. But I don't think it's as bad as people make out. Adam and Andrew always speak about the trenches and how important they are. They've obviously improved there. My biggest issue is, just going back to what Johnny said, not getting Brooks. Maybe Jerry Jones shot himself in the foot by talking him up too much, because he would have fit in nicely in that offense.
But you said, you're talking about the offensive side of it, him throwing the ball. Yeah. I noticed for the last 2 years, when the run game wasn't there and when they didn't use the run game, because Pollard isn't there anymore, and Pollard had a good year last year, just didn't get in the end zone. When the run game wasn't there, when they didn't utilize Pollard, Dak was nowhere near as good, and he struggled massively. And that for me is the issue, that he's not going to be as effective passing and completion. Outside of Lamb and Ferguson, I don't think they've got anything good enough to win a championship.
I guess it was that game on the road against Philly. Like you said, they kept getting near the end zone, but they couldn't punch it in. And if that's the same narrative again, then I think Jerry probably turns around and says, well, my money's better off spent elsewhere.
Certainly an interesting time to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. Well, to be honest, it's always an interesting time to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't think there's ever a blip in the road where it's not exciting for Dallas. We'll move on to our next topic this evening, and it's the fight for California in the NFC West. Two teams are in the same division, the LA Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously very big in the California region, that fight for the NFC. And we're going to sort of look and compare their drafts, I suppose, and what that means for the balance and the equilibrium of the Rams, who had a very bad season last year, but did have Stafford very injured for about most of it. And a lot of their team was pretty injured for most of it. The 49ers, obviously, an incredible year with the rise of Brock Purdy in a market in California that they have a lot of exposure there. So it's going to be interesting to look at. We'll look at the Rams draft to begin with. He says, look at the Rams draft to begin with. The article I loaded up earlier has just decided to not work, but now it has. So they took Jared Verse with their first pick in the number 19, the first pick they've had it since 2014, I believe. Jared Goff was their last pick on with that as well. The second pick being Braden Fisk, round two. Didn't they play together at Florida State as well? I saw a very lovely Instagram today of they were going to get Jared Verse to ring Fisk to pick him. Say you've been picked, and actually he was running about 5 minutes late and did get there while they were on the phone. So we had a very emotional chat to each other, which is really great to see. Round three, they took Blake Corum, running back out of Michigan. Round three, again, Cameron Kitchens from Miami. And then Brennan Jackson in the fifth round, and Tyler Davis in the sixth, Joshua Carty in the sixth as well, Jordan Whittington in the sixth wide receiver. Sorry, the article I've got is just decided to make everything very small, so I'm trying to focus on that. Bo Limmer, O-lineman in the sixth as well. I mean, lots of picks. Leviston, Katie Leviston, our offensive lineman at Kansas State as well. And on the San Francisco side of the ball, hopefully this article won't be really tiny. They took Ricky Pearsall with the 31st pick, Renardo Green with the second pick, cornerback Dominic Pooney, offensive lineman in the third, the fourth round, Malik Mustafa, safety, running back Isaac Guerrero. Yeah, go on. That's going to be your name now, Isaac. Jacob Carrying, wide receiver in the fourth, Jarrett Kingston in the sixth, and Tatum Bethune, the linebacker in the seventh. Sorry, a lot of names in a very short amount of time there. Andrew, we're going to start with you on this because it was you who brought this topic to the table. A lot of picks by both teams, and a lot of two teams that are very polarizing, very exciting, and teams that had a lot of drama surrounding them as well. You know, Aaron Donald retiring for the Rams, and then the constant trade rumor of Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel in San Francisco. Two great stories coming out of both of them. Nothing really happened with the Ayuk and Debo Samuel positions on the night in terms of trading them. Obviously, the Ricky Pearsall drafting is sort of echoed them rumors out to more people. But what's your take here? I mean, the battle for the NFC West and of California is definitely heating up.
Yeah, I just think with looking at what the Rams did in the whole offseason, not just the draft, I feel like they're one of the big wins massively of it. You know, they went and spent a load of money on that O-line. They brought in left tackle, they brought in Auric Jackson and Jonah Jackson as well. They managed to convert Kevin Dotson into a great guard as well. So they spent loads of money on that O-line. It looks really, really strong. And then looking at what they did in the draft in bringing in Jared Verse, who for me was one of the top edges in this whole draft class, and Brendan Fisk as well. They're both really high football IQ guys, really quality, like intelligent players. And Blake Corum as well. We've said all along that McVay likes to run his running backs into the ground until they can't run anymore and they're done and then they're out the league. And then he's gone and supported Kyren Williams, which I think we're all shocked at, and bringing in someone that's going to complement him perfectly in Blake Corum. I just think the way they've structured and the way they've built and looking at them going forward, I think they might have slowly started to overtake the 49ers and where they're at. And there's a chance for them, for me this year, to maybe top the division. I think that there's a possibility. We don't know what's going on with the wide receivers at the 49ers. Obviously, Pearsall was the first pick for them, but no movement has been made with Deebo or Ayuk, which I was shocked. I really thought a player from someone's team, whether it be Higgins or Ayuk or Deebo, would have got dealt within the draft. And the fact that it hasn't happened, I'm unsure when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. And then that kind of leaves them in a bit of a weird situation. But yeah, I just feel I wanted to bring it to the table because I personally feel the off season, they were one of my biggest winners, and the free agency and the draft. So, you know, even Kitchens as well, he was one of my top safeties I had. He was one of my top five safeties, and that's just a steal as well. So yeah, I just think for me, they've moved above 49ers slightly in my rankings going forward.
Adam, I'll go to you. We're talking maybe a bit more about the 49ers. Andrew's very much focused on the Rams draft day there, or draft weekend there. What have you thought of the 49ers draft weekend? Were you shocked that Ayuk and Deebo weren't there on the night in the first round or even over the weekend?
Yeah, it felt like everything was trending that way, didn't it? And then the fact that Ricky Pearsall got drafted in the first round, which I think a lot of people were thinking, is he a first round talent? Is he not? He's kind of, you know, hovering around with like where Keon Coleman went and all of that. You sort of feel like he's either going to be the bottom of the first, top of the second. The fact that that happened, it kind of felt like a trade made sense. If they don't, then Pearsall's just going to kind of be sitting there twiddling his thumbs a little bit. I mean, so I don't really know what he's going to do for them that much. So that was a little bit strange. I like Pearsall. I just don't think he's going to see much of the field with them two still there. And then the rest of it, it was all kind of a bit, it's okay. It's not anything amazing. Renardo Green, not a massive fan. I felt like that was a bit of a, you know, of all the corners that are around, not brilliant. I think Dominic Puni out of Kansas, I think he could probably start as a tackle. He could be in a rotation, so he'd be okay. And I think Garendo will be good in the Shanahan offense. I do think that he will be ideal for them. The rest of it, I didn't really think that much about it. I just felt like the Rams did. If you want to compare the two, I think the Rams was just a much better draft in general. Given the fact that, you know, I mean, they picked up like Bo Limmer and Katie Leveston in the sixth and the seventh, and these guys are capable of being starters like straight away. And I just think if you're picking guys like that up in the sixth and the seventh rounds, that's enough to, you know, that's what you need to do in order to be able to get yourself a really good team. And I just kind of felt like the 49ers didn't really do that as well as the Rams did.
Sky, the Rams, obviously infamous last year, taking Puka Nacua in a very, very late round. And we all know about the sort of season he had in the end. He was absolutely fantastic. And they, though, have not been at the top of the drafts a lot of time in history, it feels like now, they do tend to draft pretty good. Do you think with the success of Puka Nacua last year, that there is a pressure on the Rams that they're expected to hit on their draft picks? Because, you know, they've gone down the board and they've picked some guys and been able to scoop some guys in the late rounds who, you know, probably shouldn't have been sat there in some people's eyes. How impressed have you been with the Rams here?
Yeah, it must have been weird for the Rams to have, was it 10 picks in total, 5 offense and 5 defense? Yeah, first round choice since 2016. I think getting Versin is almost like, we talk about some of those bust-proof type picks. you know, you lose Aaron Donald. You need to make
talk about. I was also sorry to interrupt you, but you know, every mock had him going at 10.
Yeah,
to the Bears. Sorry, to 10 to the Bears.
And I think even people had him at the Saints. I think I did in one of my mocks. So, you know, I think they've done well to get him there. And yeah, I'm impressed with the Rams. But like you said, there's a pressure now, right? Because there was a narrative last year of, oh, they don't have any draft picks. Who's this Nakua guy? And then he has, you know, one contender for Rookie of the Year. You've now got him, Cooper Kupp. We've still got Matthew Stafford, if they can keep him upright, elite arm talent. So yeah, the pressure's there. I really like the comparison that Andrew sort of brought to the table, because it just sort of feels the same. You know, they finished two games behind the 49ers. You had the Eagles lost the Super Bowl when they finished two games ahead of the Cowboys. And then Dallas, obviously, we just spoke about how bad their offseason was this year. But last year, they made the right moves. And it almost feels like the Rams have made the right moves to say, OK, the 49ers could be a bit weak here. There could be a Super Bowl hangover. They haven't addressed pass rush issues. I think they probably need to get some people to help out with Nick Bosa. And I think, like Adam said, I don't think the moves they've made in the secondary, other than Rocky Sin, I think, you know, getting guys like Chase Lucas, who was a practice squad player on the Lions, and the two guys they've drafted are, I mean, Andrew and Adam know more than me, but not people I'm convinced by. So yeah, I think, I know I went on to the Niners there, but that adds to the argument, right? The Rams have made all the steps in the right way, and the Niners, it's just the thing that we're all guilty of when a team's successful. What could they have done to address their needs? But it still feels like that there's been a lot of overthinking there. So yeah, in short, I like what the Rams have done, but they do need to prove themselves, because yeah, it's all well and good getting diamonds in the rough in the later rounds, but this first round needs to work out for them to continue and potentially win the division next year.
Joining the 49ers, obviously Super Bowl losers of this season, just gone, and obviously been in the Super Bowl mix for the last few seasons, and then the Rams really formally, before them, were in that Super Bowl mix. I mean, it felt like at one point that gap was humongous, and now do you feel like it is closer than ever where they can compete for that sort of King of California in the NFC title?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with what Andrew and Sky said. I think the Rams have drafted so well for a number of years. It's unbelievable that they've not had a first round pick for almost a decade. What was it, 2016? And they've been able to, you know, pick up guys like, you know, last year, Byron Young was, I think, the sack leader last year. Unbelievable first starter. They've rebuilt their offensive line. They've added talent. Yeah, I like what both teams have done. I think the 49ers was, like we've already mentioned, I think a little bit underwhelming because, yeah, Ricky Pearsall, I think, was the one of the players, I think, was perhaps a little bit of a surprising pick, especially given that they, you know, haven't traded away Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. But I think they've, from reading up on the players, they've signed players who've got, you know, a lot of experience, who are tough, physical, and I think, you know, fit in with the mantra, not necessarily being, you know, starting players who will be superstars. But I think the 49ers, you know, aren't in a bad place, not for a long stretch. They're still, you know, one of the you know, the best teams in the NFL. I just don't know if they have improved at all this season compared to last. So yeah, very interesting to see how these teams match up next year. I think, you know, the X factor of McCaffrey Purdy is something that, you know, with Puka and Stafford, I'm not sure they, you know, they match up. So we'll see. I think what I'm trying to say is it's not been a disaster for the Niners, but, you know, I think the pressure is on to see where Deebo or Ayuk end up, because it feels like it isn't going to be in San Francisco. But then again, you know, what is the value of trading away at the moment, especially with, you know, the draft that's been and gone. But yeah, we'll see.
I've said Christian Frizzell, who commented earlier, did comment after he said it earlier, but I thought I'd leave it to sort of the end. Is off topic a bit, guys, but have you lads heard about the 49ers and Patriots returning to London in October? He's a 49ers fan, so I'm sure he's not been too happy with that with that section. I mean, I have not heard that gossip, but it certainly should be fun to hear. I'm sure Sky would be very happy about it. Obviously, the Patriots were overseas last year in Germany. I mean, it'd be really great to get the 49ers here. That'd be really cool. So, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see about that. Schedule release in May, so we shall see. I think that's it from us. I think. Are we all happy to sign off on that? Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like the end of not an era, but it's like moving in, isn't it, from the end of the season to the
year. Don't be so dramatic. End of an era. What are you talking about?
Come on, you were saying about
the start of a new year. You in the New England, so
yeah, exactly. Drake May, May and Mayo, baby. What a note to end on, right? I've been saying it all off season. I'm happy.
What a note to end on. Sky, Andrew, Adam, Johnny, thank you so much, and thank you all of you for the season as well. I really appreciate it as your host, and I've really enjoyed it. Thank you everyone for watching our shows, whether it be on YouTube or listening on podcasts, for seeing us at the games live and chatting to us, and for the friends we've made overseas and here within the podcast stuff as well. I'd like to thank all of you for your support. I'd like to thank all of our partners as well for allowing us to dedicate this time. Our family and friends always constantly support us. Obviously, I on a personal note thank the four of you for doing such a great job, for making some incredible content, and for doing a lot of stuff in the background as well. That's like Gareth as well for that, who is our editor and guy in the background as well, who does a fantastic job. We will be back over the summer with content infrequently, or maybe all the time. We shall see how it goes. But we plan to start our actual proper NFL stuff in August. We have got exciting opportunities with NFL writers. We've been advertising it over the last few days. So if you want to do that, just give us a DM on any of the social media platforms and we'll get you all hooked up. And in that, it's sort of a platform for you to grow your portfolio. And we're always interested in having people contribute to the franchise tag and continue the growth of what we've got going on over here. We'll be doing a lot of NFL things in the summer as well, live events as well, which we're going to. We're obviously very interested in sponsorship partnerships with people as well. If anyone is interested in that or knows people that are interested in that, we're happy to promote anyone, anything for a little bit of little bit of cash on the side. Yeah, lots to do, lots to see. We've had a really great season. Thank you again for your support. Until next time, we'll see you all and have a great summer.